Okay.
Love Talk Radio.
Where's Joey? Okay. Let's go ahead and get started. We want to pray for Dorothy. Want to pray for Michelle and her loss of her mother and for her grieving. Pray for Robbie, Pastor Robert, as he takes a plunge into marriage, which is highly revered by the Lord. So I pray for them when they'll get together, have a great time or at their chapel service and their honeymoon and a wonderful life led by the Lord. Okay? Any other prayer requests? All right. Father, we just thank you for this time together. We just pray, as we have mentioned, we pray for Dorothy that you heal her and comfort in her at this time, and there be a quick healing from the surgery. We pray for Michelle, pray for her comfort as she's grieving the loss of her mother and preparing, doing all the preparations. And we pray, Father, for Brother Robbie and Charlene as they go and get married. We pray that they have a safe trip and the chapel services go well and that they'll have a long and happy and joyful life in the Lord with you, being used by you in many different ways. And I pray that you be with us as we study Genesis chapter 20 and you bring out things that will be helpful to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's look at Genesis chapter 20 for a few minutes. I titled this God's Protection of His Will. And he told Abraham that Sarah was going to have a child. And this is the chapter before that happens. So let's look at Genesis chapter 20 and see, for one thing, how Abraham is just a regular old guy in a different time period, and he has the sinful flesh just like you and I, and he's susceptible to doing the same sin over and over again just like you and I. Now, I know that none of y'all have that problem, okay, just me. And but I can see y'all have that problem because every Sunday I come here, those donuts are over there. And every time you eat a donut, it's a sin. Right. You're tempting the flesh. Don't leave, Rob. Okay. He's getting up ready to swing. Huh?
Bring unleavened bread next time.
Okay. Oh, another one. Miss Sue, how are you doing with your arm? It looks like it's awesome. It looks like you're doing pretty good moving those arms. Good. Okay, we're going to start at Genesis chapter 20, verse 1, make some comments as we go through it. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and journeyed in Gerar. Now, Abraham is leaving the promised land, and some say that he left the promised land because of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in the plains. He saw it all, very grievous, I'm sure, sight. He was probably concerned about his nephew, Lot. And so he went and left the promised land, the promised land to him, and went into the area of the Philistines. So now he's with the Philistines. And so in verse 2, and Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister, and Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took her. That is something he did 25, 30 years ago. He said to Pharaoh, she is my sister. And as a way of building a bridge of political oneness with Abimelech, that's why Abraham did this. And we know that the same thing happened 25, 30 years ago. Pharaoh was warned. Well, let's see what happens this time. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister, and Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took her, took Sarah. Now, you know, Sarah must have been a beautiful woman. She's 90 years old and a beautiful woman. Now, you say, now look, my wife is a beautiful woman. And I think, you know, if I was to move on, go to my rewards, and she'd probably end up marrying some guy that's about 55 years old or, and with a lot of money, you know. And so Sarah was a beautiful woman. She didn't look her age, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So look at verse 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night. They say it's a dream. To Abimelech, it was a nightmare, I bet you. Dream by night, and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man. Now, God don't mix words. You know, he did not take sensitivity training. He just, look, you're but a dead man. And for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. And Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? So Abimelech took God seriously. So he was concerned about the whole nation, the Philistine nation. He said, he not unto me, she is my sister. And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocency of my hands have I done this. So here's a, let's say, an ungodly man that does not worship the God of Abraham, apparently. He's a Philistine. They have their other gods. But here, he knows who he's talking to, that he's talking to God. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. What's interesting here is God said, I kept you from her. So he has control of everything. Even though it doesn't work out exactly like God, Abraham was not obedient to him. He lied again to this guy about it being a sister. We'll get into that. But God is in control of everything in our life, and he's in control of those around us that are in our life. And vice versa. He's in control of us in the lives of other people. And so, and also here, God tells him, he says, I didn't want you to commit adultery against me. What about committing adultery against Abraham or Abimelech's wife? It was against God. So adultery is against God because of his setting up in Genesis chapter 2 that a man should cleave to his wife, leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. I guess Miss Lou.
Oh, I'm sitting
in her chair. Hey, Miss Lou, come on in.
I'm sorry, sister.
Good to see you. We're in Genesis chapter 20 and verse 6, and going over how that God told Abimelech, he stopped Abimelech from committing adultery with Sarah, and God explains it that it was adultery against him. Now, I'll go a little bit further with this. It's adultery against God, and it's also adultery that would have interfered with God's plan for Sarah and the offspring of Abraham and the promised seed of Jesus Christ. I believe that has a lot to do why he says adultery against me. And so verse 6, okay, verse 7. I would imagine Abimelech was glad to wake up that morning and this dream over with, you know. Okay, verse 7. Now, therefore, restore the man, his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee. Now, God didn't tell Abimelech, now, therefore, restore the man, this backslidden, carnal, ungodly sinner. No, he calls him a prophet. So God doesn't look at our sin. He looks at our relationship with him. Sure, we're sinners. And I'm not making that lightly. I'm not saying that lightly. I had something happen to me yesterday that brought back some memories that I try to get rid of. At work. And so it reminded me that I was quite well a sinner. And so, yeah, we're sinners. But there's a call on each believer's heart that in the eyes of God is more important than our sinful nature. And so, and that's what God's talking to Abimelech. He's just not another guy. He's got a lot of money, and Abraham did, but he's a prophet. Matter of fact, he's my prophet. And so, we stub our toe. We do, and not stub our toe. We sin, and sometimes we sin the same sin as Abraham's doing and Sarah's doing here. And he shall, and God says, for he is a prophet. And he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Now, I think he's not dreaming anymore. I think he's awake now. And God's still putting his promise out there. He ain't mixing no words. You better do it, buddy.
So, you think God would actually protect
Aaron
by telling him, you know, he'll pray for
you? You know? No, he was showing his. I don't know about that. I think Abimelech was scared. He was scared, silly, if I can say it like that. And I mean, if God would have said Abraham was 10 foot tall and he had 10,000 troops, Abimelech would have believed it, you know. Right now, I think. But he says he's a prophet, and he shall pray for thee. And so he's letting this Abimelech know the connection that he has with God, who just threatened to kill him and all the people if you don't give him his wife back. That woman's very important. And so it says in verse 8, therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning, are you still in bed, huh, and called all the servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were so afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and called unto him and said, what hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee? that thou hast brought me on me and all my kingdom a great sin. Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought surely, this is the key word here, okay, phrase, because I thought. This old carnal mind tries to outthink or out-connive and outdo God's will. Why don't we just say, well, God, what should I do in this condition? What, instead of thinking, well, I'll handle this myself, this little, you know. And Sarah and I know what, how to play a game, you know. I mean, Carol and I have done that.
Really?
We'll go for, like, we'll go to buy a car. Well, we'll play the parts, you know. You know, we've already kind of said, well, we're going to say this or that, or, you know, or, you know, things like that, little things like contract. We plan before we go in, and we think our plans are better than God's plans, and that's what I'm getting at. Sarah and Abraham thought they got, their plans were great. Okay. And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place. The fear of God is in every place. It doesn't mean that everybody's afraid of God. But as you can see right here, when God wants to scare you, he can do it very effectively. No matter what. Now, you know, when we went to New York City, 9/11 happened at 01. We went up there, I'd say about 03. And we stayed Staten Island, and we rode the ferry over, and it's the first time I think we were in the big city. Okay. And we always heard about how the New York people, New York City people, so arrogant and, you know, pushy and loud and all of that other stuff. In 03, they were nice. They had been humbled. And they were, they found out acceptable, or let's say, susceptible to terrific things happening. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that planes going into that building's put the fear of God in them. So the fear of God is everywhere. And God can bring it about anytime he wants to. And so then we went back a few years later, and they started to get their old arrogant ways back when we went a few years later after that. So, yeah, the fear of God is in every place. And he can show it, as we see here. Okay. In verse 12, and yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house. He's blaming it on God. My father's house, that I said unto her, this is thy kindness, which thou shalt show unto me at every place, whether you shall come, say of me, he is my brother. So they had this already arranged. Right after they got married, God called, look, we get in a tight spot, you're my sister.
From reality, she was his sister.
Right. So it wasn't a total lie.
It's a little lie.
Yeah. You know, but, you know, what gets me is, and I like, look at Abimelech's response. Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and woman servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. He went the second mile. He just didn't bring his wife back. So take this animals and everything else and get out of here. Get out of my sight. You know, I don't want no more dreams. I don't want no more. And so. Abimelech took the sheep, oxen, men servants, women servants, and gave them to Abraham, restored him his wife. And Abimelech said, "Behold, my land is before thee. Dwell wherever it pleaseth thee." You know, I got all this land. Y'all might want to go about 5 miles down the road or something. And so verse 16. And unto Sarah, I like this. He said, "Behold, I have given thy brother, not thy husband, thy brother. I've given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver." You know, just get it all out of his head and get it clear. "Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes." That's the rebuke. "He is to thee a covering for your eyes." I believe Sarah was flirting with him, with her eyes. Women flirt with their eyes. You know yourself, when a woman looks at you, she's being very friendly or she's very standoff. And I think she was going along a little bit too well with this plan that Abraham and him had. I think she was liking it. I'm 90 years old, and I'm still that attractive. I'm going to put the eyes on. And that's what he says. "He is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other." Thus she was reproved. Verse 17. "And Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children." Or look at this. "Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech." So Abraham had to agree with this too. He had to pray for Abimelech, who he was afraid of. But now he's praying that God would bless him and let him have children and get the Philistines a nation. And we don't know how many of these people got saved or became believers and started wanting to know more. In verse 18, "For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife." So, any comments or questions?
Shows me that you love God. They were aware of God and what God could do. And they looked upon Sarah and her husband that was going on. It showed up to them, even God's people. What are we going to do? Well, you know, they had a respect for God in their own way.
They worship.
Both of them had a respect for God. They both knew God, but probably Abraham and his wife had a different way of knowing God. They were strong in God because God had did so much for them and had told them. Whereas the Abimelech was he was the master of that whole country. That they met.
Right. Right.
And
well, he was.
They were aware of God in their own way, but not the way that God wanted them to be. You know, totally. They probably still had false gods.
Right. You know, it's
when God was in there somewhere, but they had false gods. I don't know what kind of false dog on him. Maybe
his mama. Right. You know, it's just it's like this. God has put his mark on his creation. All of us have, and right. No matter what your God is, like you were saying, they had other gods. God. And like Paul told the Athenians that thought all day, and they had a monument to the unknown God, Paul said, the God that you worship or you're seeking. And so I thought about this. This is my shoe. It's not my wife's shoe. I know. Hold your nose. But right here, it says made in China. Every creation has a mark on it that tells you where it came from. And God has put his mark on us that we're his. Now, how that is worshipped, like you said, with these other gods. Well, when you come in contact with a believer, and all of us believers have a calling on our life. If the basic one is that we're witnesses. We're the witness. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel and be a witnesses all over the world. And then he says he gives other gifts, teachers and apostles and pastors and then other gifts. He talks about for the church, everybody in the church has a gift. And so that is, if I can say it like this, that is our favorite spot that God is going to really work with us and give us insight and opportunities to live. And somebody comes against you, they're going to know that they shouldn't have done whatever they did, or they're going to know that you are this person that can help them out this way. This is what Abraham found out. God's with me, and God protects me, even when I mess up, go out of his way. And just because I'm backslidden, carnal, and ungodly doesn't mean I'm not a prophet. Doesn't mean I'm not called of God, and God's purpose for me has gone away. And so, and he even tells Abimelech, this man's going to pray for you. And when he prays for you, when he prays for your well-being, then I'll honor his prayer. Because he's a prophet.
It's just, I don't even know if this can actually comprehend everything that God does for us.
Amen.
You know what I mean? I was brought up in a pretty strict situation, but a lot of that stuff, I think, was people trying to say what God thought. Sometimes I don't think we know, you know, because God is so gracious, so merciful, so long-suffering, that it amazes me think that, you know, God would use a man or myself even, you know. It's amazing.
Amen.
And they said, one of it, the Baptist people were choosing children. for Sunday school and for the Bible, whoever is the Catholic, who lived right next door to me, all they had was the priest, and what he was teaching was the best of everything. I don't know if they, but they had high respect for the Catholic Church. If I can remember my little girlfriend, I wanted to go in the church. She didn't even know whether they would allow me to even go in the church. I believe she was there, so that I could see the building, you know, in hot blood. But she warned me from the time I got in there, don't touch anything.
Don't say anything. Be quiet. So the reverence they have for the building, I mean, that's the reverence we should have for God.
Going along with what you're saying, I think it's a reverence or respect for their religion. Like Paul the Apostle said in Athens, he didn't say, hey, look, you stupid idiots, what are y'all doing? Sitting up here stargazing, and no, he reasoned with them from where they were at, and he explained to him that the God that you worshiping, let me tell you about him. And he respected that worship, and again, God has put that mark on us. You're created. I created you. And they were, and because of different religions coming in, it confuses a person. And they're expecting God's going to do certain things, and he don't do certain things. Things like that. You ready to pray? Are you going to?
We're done?
Yeah.
Oh. Different problem, Lord. Thank you, God, for this blessing. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for Brother John. You explain the time. God, pray you just bless our lives now. Bless us this week. Words.